Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering today's show. He's selecting our 60s bumper music, which will be Blood, Sweat, and Tears today. We like that. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. We made it to Friday. We made it to the last Friday of February. And we hope you had a great week and are looking forward to a wonderful weekend. I know I am. We're live here. Noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We stream the show. We have it podcast also for you on buckmastershow.com, also kvoi.com for the live stream. Shout out to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Sahuarita Sun, and our newest friend, TucsonLifestyle.com. The Friday Focus interview today is with the mayor of the city of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild. Joining me in studio to question the mayor, Sarah Garrett Gasson. Sarah is editorial writer and columnist. Her work appears, her columns, Thursday in the Arizona Daily Star. She is also the host of the Newsmaker interview series on the Star's website, Tucson.com. If you would like to join in the conversation, we welcome you at 790-2040. You can also send me an email. I've got the computer right in front of me, bill@buckmastershow.com. And, of course, on Facebook, we've already had quite a few comments, folks knowing the mayor was going to be on the program today. Facebook page is simple, Bill Buckmaster, as we push. We're only 15 friends now away from 4,000 on Facebook, Mr. Mayor.
Well, Bill, you must have some influence in this community.
I don't know about that, but first of all, Sarah, ladies first. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you again. Facebook, when I said you were going to be on the show today, you can imagine what the comments were. What's the latest with the, quote, pod people problem in downtown?
Well, I've got hopefully good news for the community in this sense. The court, which issued the order, which we're now living with, has today said that we can get back in court on March the 10th, which is, I believe, a week from Monday or Tuesday. And we're asking the court for further instruction based on the activity, the increased activity we've seen since this last order. I think it's important that people understand how we got to where we are, which is the law really across the country, and our ordinance allows people to be on a sidewalk so long as they don't block the sidewalk. And there was this group that was gathering down there, and we had, our police department had, within its, we thought, lawful discretion, limited the folks to a backpack, a bedroll, and a bottle, we hope a water bottle. And we were sued, and the suit alleged that the city was being arbitrary and restrictive in that rule, and that these folks were exercising their First Amendment right, talking about the plight of the homeless. The court made its ruling and agreed that they were exercising First Amendment rights and that our rules were too restrictive, and made some other orders, which this group then took to flower the pod, shall we say. And so we're living with that order. We're not happy with it by any means. And we're going to be back in court here in about 10 days. This is a problem that is going on around the country. Many cities are facing it. It's a macro problem. There's a lot of homeless people in the community. But because there's a lot of homeless people in the community doesn't mean that you can trample over everybody's rights, and there has to be a balance. So on Tuesday at the city council meeting, we're going to have a study session on this. We're looking at alternative sites for these folks. That's not as easy as it might sound. You have to look at location. Nobody's going to be particularly happy with that. Yet people need access to the community. You can't put people out in the middle of the desert. There has to be sustainability. It costs money. And really the issue is about getting services to people who need services. And our community, both the city and the county, put a lot of money towards emergency services, homeless services, but you can't reach everybody. And we feel that we are a very compassionate community, as some would probably say now, too compassionate, when it comes to the issue here. But we have to find that balance. And at this point, we're going to need the court's assistance because we have the court order.
Okay, Sarah, jump in.
One of the things you've talked about for a long time is homeless veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And can you talk a bit about what efforts have been successful there and how do we apply the success there to what the people in the pod area are facing?
Right. And I think that's right, Sarah. You know, some people will look at a problem and try to get a headline and other people will get to work. And what we've done over the past 15, 16 months is house 920 formerly homeless veterans. We're well on our way to the goal that the president set for us. What has worked there is making the call to action, bringing together all the veterans groups in this community, of which there's many groups that support veterans in our community because of the base and our community, Sierra Vista too, and the social service agencies. And they've worked in cooperation together to house. Now, we've got a little additional help from the federal government because it was a priority of the federal government. We got some additional vouchers. We got some grants to the nonprofit sector, principally Primavera, American Red Cross, to help with this population. So we've been able to put resources there. So part of it's finding the resources, but also part of it is finding people who work in good faith together to make this happen. You need bricks and mortar. I think at the homeless camp in Phoenix, which is quite large, it's San Antonio, it's next to two facilities that are housing homeless, and it's an overflow facility. But for those facilities, you need to be a city resident. You need to be drug and alcohol free. And so, you know, all of these efforts require the work of everybody. And we have gone out to the camp, we'll call it, and had our social service agencies go out there. Both the city and the county have gone out there. And so we've gotten some folks, you know, to want help. But there is always going to be a population that doesn't want the help. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. You can go to the Primavera Rescue Center, and it's 100 beds at night. And there's people, because of whatever their condition is, that have trouble or not comfortable walking into a place where there's 100 homeless guys sleeping. So it is a intractable social problem in our country that has some real macro issues that should be discussed. But our job at the city level is to do our best to keep the city streets clean and make that balance. But there are ways to address the issue, and I think efforts are being made. You know, in a sense, these folks are saying, make more effort.
Well, part of it isn't it that, you know, couples, families being together, that it's the what we have available as emergency services doesn't meet the need that some, you know, families want to stay together, couples want to stay together. So are there any inroads being made into figuring out how to accommodate those personal situations?
Yeah. And again, I almost have to divide. You're now onto the topic, which is different from what's going mm-hmm. on in the camp. We've seen our federal money cut back for homeless services. We don't see a lot of state money. We've made some progress this year. The Arizona Department of Housing has funded several new projects. One is a project out on the Far East Side where they built 30 apartments that can take in families and can take in women with children. And we need more resources because at a certain level, there aren't enough beds.
It's now 12:13 on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. If folks would like to join in, and I know there's a lot of interest in this pod situation. So homelessness, obviously, not a unique problem to Tucson. We were talking before we went on the air, Mayor. There's 35 major cities across the country that have homeless camps. What is unique to this issue are these pods, mm-hmm. and which are made in Bisbee. Who is funding the pods?
Well, I have been told that the pods are in part being funded by Brian Flagg at Casa Maria, and I have a probably true because he has a bus riders union sign on one of his pods and a Casa Maria sign on another cod inviting people to come down and get food, which is a decent gesture, but this is activists trying to gain attention so that they can get their government to work towards a solution. The problem is at the city level, we have only so many resources and can only work in partnership with others for a solution. So if we're going to see a solution, it's going to be done at the city, county level. It may take philanthropy, nonprofits, and the private sector to step up.
All right, let's go to the live line. Dan has a question for Mayor Rothschild. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, this is relative. My wife asked me about this problem. She and a couple of friends went downtown to have lunch the other day. She said that that she just can't understand why maybe these people have First Amendment rights to hold up signs and talk, but they are defecating on the street, urinating on the street, and these women refuse to even go to a restaurant. I mean, aren't you hurting the city? Isn't this a health problem, and you ignore it?
Well, we're not ignoring it. The Pima County government is responsible for our health laws. They have been out to the site. We are, when we go back to court on March 10th, going to make that exact argument to the federal judge that these folks are creating. You have to balance the First Amendment against public safety and public health. And we're going to make that argument to the judge that we have public health concerns. The enforcement there is not as easy as we would like. Even with police officers stationed out there, you know, folks sneak around a bush to go to the bathroom. And but we're very well aware of that concern and are going to take that to the court.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show, the Friday Focus interview. Mayor Jonathan Rothschild will also want to talk about roads, obviously a big issue. The mayor has his State of the State address 1 week from today. He'll give us a quick preview of what we can expect with that. Sarah is going to stick around also for another segment, and we'll be right back.
Sometimes in winter, I gaze into the streets and walk through snow and
hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's 7 lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, it's our Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators John Munger and Vince Robigo. Also, our monthly visit with General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff. Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, noon to 1 each weekday. And, of course, we're always on buckmastershow.com for our live streaming and our show archive and, of course, all of our podcasts. Very nice, Tom. Good selection there. It's Blood, Sweat, and Tears Day here on the Buckmaster Show. All of our bump music. Every Friday we do some kind of a 60s thing because, well, that was my favorite era for music. That's really dating myself, right, Mayor?
Great album.
There you go. Sarah Garrett Gaston is here from The Star, and Mayor Rothschild is with us for the second segment. The first segment pretty much was all devoted to pods. You've got a State of the City address 1 week from today. I assume roads will be involved somehow in that speech.
Well, we will be talking at some point about roads. One of the things about the State of the City bill is it really gives you a chance to look back on what you've done and where you are and where you want to go. And so I'm going to this year start with talking really about the themes of the past 3 years. We started with making Tucson work again, and we think we've done well by settling the Rio Nuevo dispute and seeing downtown revitalize, passing the $100 million road bond issue. The first time in this community that anything like that has occurred in years, making our planning development services department more efficient. Then we talked about doing more together than alone, and I'm going to talk about some private-public partnerships that have been successful. And last year we talked about Tucson in transition and really moving from the 5 C's to the 5 T's, technology, trade, transportation, tourism, and teaching, and the fact that the community has really come together around those five and how we can push those forward. This year, I'm going to talk about opportunities. And because I really do believe that we've set the stage for opportunity in this community and that now is our time, but we need to really advance it while we can. And roads are a part of that. The $100 million road bond issue, we're 30% of the way through it. We have saved 40% of the money we expected, which means we're going to be able to do 40% more roads. I think, and my numbers will probably be a little off, I think we did 281 miles of new road last year. But it's a drop in the bucket. I mean, our roads were not cared for 20, 30 years. And nobody likes excuses, but the state taking the HERF money, which was dedicated for that, has really put that burden back on the city and the county, and we're going to have to act. And so what I'm hopeful of is that as this program is successful, we can do it again without raising taxes using that same capacity. At the same time, when you get a bad rain, you get bad potholes. And we have 8 crews that are out working round the clock and trying to catch up as fast as they can. But quite frankly, when the roads are in the condition they're in, you have to resurface them, you have to repave them, you have to do them over. And I think this community has spoken loud and clear on that topic, that if we can fix our roads, if we can clean up our graffiti, if we can keep the streets, the sides of the streets clean, people are pretty happy with you at the local level.
All right. We've been keeping one of our callers waiting quite a while. Mary Ellen has been very patient, and she's now on the live line to speak with the mayor. Go ahead, Mary Ellen.
Yes. I'm calling in, too. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm calling in also as a concern. I've never called in before.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome.
And, yes. Thank you. About this situation downtown, when we went to TSO, there were like 3 women who were from out of the city. They were visiting, and they felt so uncomfortable because we were having to step over these legs and people's feet that were out on the sidewalk. And recently, I'm even seeing myself, like that gentleman said, of people going to the bathroom, even on La Cholla and Orange Grove on the corner, when I saw the lady back up to the wall and pull her pants down and,
oh boy,
do their thing. And
okay.
I think it's getting way out of hand. And some people, how do you differentiate between the true homeless and those that are being defiant? Because when we encourage this, every year it's going to get worse and worse and more people coming in if they know they can do things like this.
Okay, thank you, Mary Ellen. Now let's hear from the mayor with your...
You know, Mary Ellen, you ask a very good question when you ask, how do you distinguish between those who are truly homeless and those who are the defiant? And I think the best we can do is reach out to people, offer services, and if they want the services or capable of taking advantage of the service, and that helps, we can take them off the street. As to those who are being defiant, they have to be dealt with in a different way. They have to be dealt with in our courts, and we're doing our best at that. We're certainly not trying to encourage anybody, but at the same time, when you talk about somebody out at La Cholla and Orange Grove, that's a long way from the city limits. It's a county matter, but it does address a macro problem. The homeless in our community are not confined to this park. They are all over our community, and for the most part, they don't like to be seen. They're in washes. They're in alleys. They're out in the desert. There are so many homeless folks out living in the desert in the county, and we do have these agencies that are working hard to try to help them, but the problems these folks are seeing are problems that are very difficult. They don't solve themselves in a day or two. They are problems that require both parties working hard together. When I say both parties, the social service agency and the people, and they're difficult problems. And so we just do our best to address those problems, and we're going to do our best with this park situation.
All right. Here is Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star.
Getting back to the roads situation, is this something that I know the county has talked at great length about? You know, we should need to get the legislature to raise the gas tax, which is, in my opinion, never going to happen, even though it should. But so what can the city do to incur? Is it possible to have a bond issue part of this going out to the voters to I think that would be approved. So how do we get to that point?
Well, so here's where we're at as a city. I mean, and I agree with you, Sarah. I think that the county administrator's position with regard to what the state ought to do is absolutely correct. I also think it's not going to happen. And so we have to be realistic and take this on ourselves. And in that local government, I can understand the county administration. I've got all these other needs. But at the city level, what we can do, we need to go out and increase our bonding capacity. By charter, we're restricted, and that will very likely be on the ballot here in November. And if we do that, we can have another $100 million, and we don't raise taxes because it's within the capacity of the first $100 million. Another big conversation, community conversation over these next couple of years is going to be the reauthorization of the RTA, the Regional Transportation Authority. And if you take that same half-cent sales tax and you put it to before it was essentially to new roads, which we needed, but now we've got most of the new roads we need. And if you take that same money and you put it to pavement preservation, you put it to transit, you put it to the other transportation needs in our community, I think we can make a lot of progress. But in the short run, we need to bond more, and we are capable of doing it. We can take that on ourselves, and we can do it.
So is that something that – how do you – you said that's going to be on the ballot probably in November, the charter. How do you explain that to people? Because it sounds very arcane and technical and the kind of thing people might just gloss over.
You're right. It's going to take a real public relations effort, because when you see it on the ballot, raise your debt limitation, the first thought's going to be, oh, they're just going to tax us more. They're just trying to take more of our money. So we have to explain, first of all, that we can do nothing without voter approval. Okay, so it has to be a project that the voters approve. And second, we have to set the track record on the $100 million road bond issue that we have going on now, that we can do it right. And right now we are ahead of schedule, we are under budget, and every place you see one of those roads, whether it be the road coming out of the airport, whether it be Campbell, whether it be 6, whether it be parts of First Avenue, you feel the difference. You get a lot more pride in your community when you ride on a nice road, and you feel crummy when you're dodging potholes. And so I think we all see the priority. Now we have to make the case that it's not us who can just willy-nilly expend that money, but the people have to agree that's what they want to do.
All right, it's 12:31. We are out of time with Mayor Rothschild. Thank you very much, Mayor, for coming in and talking with us about pods, roads, and a preview of your State of the City address that will be next Friday.
It will be, and we'll try to set forth and continue the vision to keep Tucson moving in the right direction.
Okay. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, too.
All right. We're going to take our break right here. The Friday Roundtable. Mari Herreras is waiting in the wings. She is the editor of the Tucson Weekly. She will join Sarah Garrett Gasson. And yours truly, Bill Buckmaster, back right after this.
What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel, got to go.
Hi, I'm Kath McCauley. I teach beginners and professional artists to sketch and paint all over the U.S. Isn't it time to be amazed at what you can do? You can pocket sketch in public and not be noticed. Be done in 25 minutes or less. There's no cleanup and everything fits in a fanny pack. This is ideal for hiking, biking, standing in line, or in a cafe. Imagine capturing what you think you see anywhere.
Workshops in March, April, and May. Call Kathleen at 318-9291 or Kath at pocketsketching.com for workshop schedules.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847. Let that play a little bit.
Blood, sweat, and tears.
The live version. That goes back to early days of my career, I'll tell you, when I actually was a disc jockey for a while.
Did you have hair and facial hair like that?
I did. Pretty long hair.
You did?
Yeah, I did. And one time, actually, some facial hair, too, when I was doing radio in the old days.
Could we see a photo of that on the Bugmaster Show site?
Yeah, on the Facebook. Maybe we need to post that. But I used the name, my middle name, for the brief period that I was doing radio DJing kind of thing. Yeah. Bill Stewart.
Oh, that's cool. That Stewart. Sounds like a good radio name.
Yeah, but Buckmaster's not half bad either, I hope. Anyway, Mari Herreras, how are you?
Great, thanks.
Mari is the editor at the Tucson Weekly. Sarah Garrett Gasson is the editorial writer. Her column appears on Thursday, and she does the Newsmaker series on Tucson.com. That's a really good website location. I mean, you grab Tucson.com.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what could be more Tucson?
Exactly. Exactly. That's the point.
That is the point. Okay, so the pod people is kind of the big story, but the pod people like Tucson downtown, and apparently the actress Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, geez, Louise.
What in the world?
Wasn't that old footage from what I understand?
Was it?
I honestly have no idea.
I have no idea, but it was all over the social media that Scarlett was asked. I guess she was doing an interview with one of these a talk show or something. And
it was at the Oscars.
At the Oscars. And they said she threw it right back to the two people interviewing her. Oh, by the way, where are you two from? And the guy said, I'm from Tucson. I love Tucson.
I love downtown Tucson.
She says, okay, yeah. Well,
apparently a lot of people are kind of avoiding downtown Tucson right now because of the pod people.
Yeah, my perspective is that it's a brilliant feat of organizing, and it has put the city in a rock and a hard place to address issues. I think one of the things that I would have asked Mayor Rothschild is, besides all the other things, the normal things of, you know, finding housing for people, using the veterans program, as Sarah brought up, as an example, how to move forward, is one of the issues that's out there is, you know, finding homeless services for people with no identification. It continues to be an issue, and the city is well aware of it. The mayor's office is well aware of that, and there isn't a plan in place, and there are a growing number of homeless folks that are out there that can't access housing and services without identification, and they're in a rock and hard place too because they can't get it. And so there's lots of different facets to this, lots of different planning that needs to take place beyond federal grants and funding that we may have lost. That just means sitting down and saying, okay, this is how we're going to deal with it.
And Sarah, you know what you're hearing, what I'm hearing, I'm sure Mari's hearing. The public, the folks who maybe not following the news as carefully as we are, they think the police need to go in there, clean up the downtown pod people, and move them out immediately.
Right. And as the mayor pointed out, you can't do that because there's a court order prohibiting that. But also, I think we do need to keep in mind that these are fellow human beings who are in very tough straits. And as uncomfortable as it is and confrontational as it is for people to be living in boxes, basically wood boxes, on our streets, it's something that is invisible most of the time, and we're able to just sort of not think about it. And so I think bringing it to the attention and making people step over them and being very visible about it does have value. And I also think that if you do just go in and just mow down these encampments, these are people's homes. This is what they have, their worldly possessions. So I think yes, it's an inconvenience, and yes, it's something that's unsightly to a lot of folks, but also it's bringing attention to something that we really do need to get our arms around.
And that will be March 10th when the mayor gave us that information today during his interview. Now a court hearing has been set for the 10th to figure out what is going to be the next step and perhaps give the city the authorization for the police to move in and move the people to perhaps another location. I'm not quite sure where they would move them, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's been discussion of this need for, I mean, you know, there are homeless advocates out there that have different perspectives, different plans out there. Some have called for allowing a homeless camp in a park. Some have said, hey, let's build these small house-like structures, find some properties to put them on, church properties, abandoned city properties that have some utility aspect there for water and things. And maybe it's time for the city to think about that because, in part, yes, the mayor's right. There are always going to be a group of people that will continue to want to live in the washes, that will not want housing. But there's still a problem that needs to be addressed either way.
All right, let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Ben Bueller Garcia joins us. Ben, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Hey, listen, just want to add my 3 cents worth. It's important for people to recognize, and I don't know who it was, if it was Maury that said that, you're never really going to solve this altogether. There are some folks who just choose that lifestyle. But there are plenty of resources available in Tucson. If somebody needs an ID, we can get them a bus pass, get them down there and get that ID, get that problem taken care of.
No.
As far as the resources, there's a great program that's offered that's called Wolves Without Roofs. That's held on a monthly basis down at the Z Mansion, where homeless folks can get their dogs vaccinated, registered. They'll give you a free leash, get all that sort of stuff taken care of. So there are resources there. I think the challenge is communicating them to the folks like at this encampment to make sure they know it's available. And then it's their choice whether they choose to take advantage of it or not.
Mari?
Yeah, no, Ben, hey, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I would say that, you know, I think the ID issue goes a little further, though. I mean, just it's just from talking with the homeless advocates that I'm in touch with, that this is a bigger problem that just can't be solved by us saying, oh, it's just a matter of you just need to go here and then it'll be taken care of. There are folks, they don't have their social security cards. They don't have a form of identification. They've been part of being homeless for so long that that all that stuff is just lost. And we just don't have the capability as a city to figure out how to move beyond that and get these people some identification so that they can have access. We still are not there yet. That's still a discussion that needs to happen. And but it's just a little bit beyond just saying, okay, all you have to do is just go here. But I do agree with you that there are services out there that folks still can always need to know about and always need to have access to.
And well, I guess that's my point, Mara, is with the group that I volunteer with, we deal with this twice a week. And there are, if somebody needs it, we can get it done. Now, it might take a little extra effort on their part. You've got to make two or three stops. But there is an event that's called, I want to say once a quarter, called the Tucson Homeless Connect. But we actually bring those resources to the folks. And you can sit down, they'll look you up on the computer and at least get those steps started.
Okay.
So I guess the main thing I'm looking for is making sure that folks know there is help out there, and if they choose not to, and I tell you, I speak from personal experience. One of the first people I dealt with when I was doing homeless outreach was a young man who lost his ID. So, okay, here's where you go to get a new one. Here's a bus pass. Next week, you still hadn't gotten it done. Here's where you go. Here's a bus pass. And at some point, you say, look, you've got to help me help you. And if you choose to do this, then okay. But I guess the main thing is I want folks to know there are some resources out there. Certainly not enough, but there are some resources available.
Okay, thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
Ben Buehler-Garcia. Sarah?
Oh, I just wanted to point out that the issue of homelessness has so many tangents to it and parts that are intertwined. Mental health funding has been cut over the past years, and that's a huge part of homelessness for a lot of folks. And so it's not just something like, oh, we build an apartment building and everyone's great. It's a 360-degree issue, and it goes back to a lot of causes.
All right. Next up on the live line is Russ. Russ, you are with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Just a comment on this homeless situation, and there's no one as compassionate as me, but I just want to make this morning I went to a medical facility for some things, and there was a free phone there for patients to use, and there was a homeless guy there just using the phone because it was free, and it was very distasteful, the smell. I mean, he's a human being, don't get me wrong. But he used it for about 45 minutes, did all his business, and then walked out. And I felt kind of resentful that I needed to make a couple phone calls, and I couldn't.
And he you say he tied it up for 45 minutes?
45 minutes, making all these different calls and
wow.
Everything.
No, that's not good.
And again, there's both sides of it. Oh, by the way, last thing, Spinning Wheel by that song, the
yeah.
Spinning Wheel.
Yeah, Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
It reminds me for many, many years back, the first and only time I went to a club that was like a men's club, when my students took me there for a birthday. But I always connect every time I hear that song, I okay. think of that place.
Thank you, Russ, for calling. Let's see if we can get into some of these other calls. Folks, this obviously want to talk about the homeless situation. Jim Kelly is with us next. Jim, go ahead.
Hi, Mari. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Jim.
One of the things that I heard was that mental health funding had been cut. The reality of it is in 2006, we passed an extra property tax to pay for community health, community mental health, and for drug treatment on demand. And that was being managed by CPSA, but now we've got a new company that's going to manage our mental health things for the county. But that funding hasn't been cut. That funding is leveled right there. It's coming straight from our taxes.
No, I was talking about the Medicaid funding for access and mental health for people on Medicaid.
Okay, well, in the county, we have treatment on demand. And, however that money is managed, I certainly hope our new managers do a better job than the last one. paying $500,000 a year to their director, but that money is there, and it just needs to be used properly, and treatment on demand is a reality in Pima County.
Okay.
They have choices, and that's all I got to say on that. They have choices, whether they avail themselves of it or not.
Thank you, Jim. Michelle, you are next with us. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hi, I just wanted to, hi everyone, Mari, everyone,
hey, Michelle.
Follow up on the identification issue and Ben's comment. I'm a homeless advocate here in Tucson, and I spend a great deal of time trying to assist folks that identification is the issue, and it's not, you know, go to Homeless Connect. Homeless Connect can only assist with basic things, basic internet research. But you still have to comply with the state where their birth certificate came from, their vital records. That's usually the first step. And almost all of those require that you have a valid photo ID. Okay. So it's not just research and helping figure out how people should apply. It's that they do not have identification required to get the ID that they need.
Okay,
so
thanks.
It's a much bigger, bigger issue.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. Mm-hmm. Michelle calling in on the Buckmaster Show live line. I had a bunch of other topics, Mari. As you know, I always give you guys a lot of topics to talk about. But, you know, this is what people want to talk about right now, Sarah.
It is. It's
and it's a good thing we are talking about this issue.
Right. It's front and center, and it's on people's minds, and I think we need to talk about it.
I didn't have time, Mari, to get into the whole fireworks thing at the TUSD board meeting between State Senator Steve Farley, who spoke before the board, kind of got into it with board member Michael Hicks over Hicks's advocating for that bill before the legislature that would, in effect, cut all the TUSD DSEG funding. They kind of got into it.
Hicks got a little angry up on the dais. I wasn't there. Our staff writer was there, but boy, I wish I'd been there.
But you know, the big view again, the overall look at TUSD is this, that and the perception, Sarah. What do you think the perception is after more of the same?
Right. And you can't. I think it is just ridiculous for a board member to say I was acting as a private citizen when I was objecting to this, because you're a board member. You aren't
a private citizen at that point. Sorry.
No, I mean, it's so that, yeah, so many of those board meetings, as you know, can be just so boring. And then,
then once in a while, it's fun.
Hey, yes. All right. Mari and Sarah, I hope both of you have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you very much. 12:51 on the Buckmaster Show. Let's find out what's going on the weekend. That is coming up next after we take a break and listen to a little more of Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
It's time again for the Pima Council on Aging's Ages and Stages Expo. Join us for this free event on Saturday, February 28th at the Casino del Sol Resort. There'll be exhibits, educational seminars, demonstrations, prizes, and live entertainment. Learn lots of new ways to enhance your life as you grow older. Ages and Stages is brought to you by CareMore, Jackson White Attorneys, Zounds Hearing, Cascades of Tucson, Desert Diamond Casino, and the Assistance League of Arizona. So, don't miss Ages and Stages on February 28th, because if aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. Call 790-0504 or visit us online at pcoa.org. PCOA, the place to go for help when you don't know where to start.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine. Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
It is time for the Weekend Watch, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's a great weekend getaway. Just 3 hours east of Tucson to the historic downtown of Silver City with arts, hiking, birding, you name it. It's a great, different kind of weekend for you. Great places to stay like Little Toad Creek Inn and Pinos Altos Cabins. You can find out about all the great places to stay and things to do by visiting their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. Matt Russell, our usual host of Weekend Watch, is taking a nice long weekend, taking the weekend off. Filling in, thank you, Dan Gibson, a visit to Tucson. Dan, how are you?
I'm great. I don't get the breaks that Matt Russell has. He's got a nice schedule. I applaud that.
Yeah, he does.
Him. He's figured it out. I'm working. I'm plugging away.
All right. We went a little long today on the roundtable because folks wanted to talk about the homeless situation. So I'm going to have to telescope you into a couple of minutes, a couple of quick tips for us for the weekend, Dan.
Well, there are a myriad of things going on, but Dish Bistro, Tucson classic restaurant, closing mid-month next, in the middle of next month. If you want to check that place out, this weekend would be a good time to do so. The mussels there are great. They've got wonderful options and one of the best wine selections in town. So get over to the Dish this weekend if you have a chance. Also, big sports weekend, obviously. The end of the Desert Diamond Cup is this Saturday night. 3 matches starting at 4:30. You can see these wonderful professional soccer players practicing their craft as they get ready for the MLS season. Of course, the Tucson Rodeo, Saturday and Sunday, the finals, also followed by a barn dance every night at 4 p.m. So if you want to see some roping and rustling and whatever rodeo people do, you can also hang around, enjoy some music and some beer.
And you were at the rodeo parade.
Sorry, go ahead.
Rodeo parade yesterday, right?
I was. I was there with my daughter representing Visit Tucson. We were waving to the fine people who were along the parade route. Yeah. So that was a fun time.
Looks like you had a real nice ride on the wagon there.
Oh, we got the biggest horse in town, so that's great.
All right. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, Dad. That's okay. Uh-huh. Also, Rito Downs this weekend. Longer season this year. They've got a post time 1 p.m. both on Saturday and Sunday. If you're looking for something totally different, you want to get away from the sports stuff entirely, the Hinamatsuri Girls Day Festival at the Yume Japanese Gardens. I don't know if you've been there. It's it's over by the Botanical Garden. It is really lovely. They're having a Girls Day Festival. You can bring your daughter, your granddaughter, your niece, whatever you like. It's a doll exhibit of the Japanese Imperial Court. You can make origami dolls. There'll be clay doll making. There'll be food for the dolls and for the children. Children are free with an adult paying admission. That's 1 to 4:30 p.m. on Sunday. You got time for more, Bill? You want me to keep going?
I think I'm going to have to wrap it up. Give me one more quick one.
Guys and Dolls, presented by Broadway in Tucson. That's at Centennial Hall this weekend. There's like five showings of it. It's a national touring production. You remember songs such as Bushel and a Peck, Sit Down, You're Rockin' the Boat. Fun show for everybody, for the whole family. That's at Centennial Hall. You can find more information about that at BroadwayinTucson.com.
Have a great weekend, Dan Gibson.
You too.
Thank you.
No problem.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at KVOI, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, and all of our friends at Perfection Auto Works, thank you so much for your support. PerfectionAutoWorks.com. Mike Emery and the team, they do a fantastic job with all your foreign and domestic automobile needs. We do wish you a wonderful and safe weekend. Tom, take us on out.